gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You can email us all at stephaniemiller.com, executive producer Kristen Boyd, voice Deity Jim Warren, or me, Stephanie Miller. Okay, as I told the Current TV folks at the top of the hour here, I brought props today.
You did.
Just run TV. I've talked about this many times before, but I actually brought visual aids for the presentation today. Could I have my complaint music, please? Thank you. Okay. Listen to me very carefully. Somebody, whoever it is that hikes in Griffith Park, listen to me. And I'm talking to all of you around the country, passive-aggressive note writers.
You picked a note up off
a
piece of poop?
Stop leaving these on the trail.
I live in hell!
Because, as I've mentioned, I am a dog owner. I pick up my dog's poo. I hate it, too, when people leave their dog's poo. However, you are just adding more litter by leaving your passive-aggressive note on a rock, on the bag, next to the poo. Now... See, at least I took away a little bit of the litter. And then it's also these stupid little roses. Roses are red. See, there's a little red dot with an arrow to it. Violets are blue. Blue. Blue dot. Please carry out your bag of poo. So that one. And then a few yards up. Oh, look, it's red construction paper. Please do not litter in our park. And then, helpfully, there's a bag of poo with an arrow into a garbage can for you, in case you can't.
But
and
by
so now,
leaving
is,
that...
Yes, now there is poo and bags and rocks
litter.
And paper on my trail.
That's the height of irony that they leave a piece of paper on the ground that says, please
litter.
Don't litter our park.
Yes. Yes. All right. I'm talking to all y'alls out there. America, don't stop it!
You just littered the studio.
Uh-huh. I'll pick it up later.
Okay. I'm sure that's what these people that left the crap on the trail said.
It's just irritating.
I'm leaving notes in my cat boxes.
Yeah.
Will you please learn to use the toilet?
I'm tired!
Like the cat in Meet the Parents. What's wrong with you?
You can't train them to do that, you know.
Yeah. I'm...
You can.
I've heard you can. I don't know.
Yeah, you can. I've seen it happen.
Anyway, it's just the illogic of it that bothers me. Because what are the chances that the person that left the poo there in the first place, who does not care,
or
they wouldn't have poo there,
right.
is going to come back and see this helpful note and go, oh, well.
My life has changed.
Oh, now that you've foisted bad poetry on me, I'll be sure to pick that up.
Can you at least leave a filthy limerick? You know,
something.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Was that
you always know it's going to be a Roses Are Red poem.
Was that stuck... In the poo?
No, here's what they do.
Yeah,
they
I was going to say.
Yeah, and you brought that in?
No, the poo is in the bag. And so then they put the note with a rock on the note next to the bag. So that you can... It's my major irritant in life. That and the fact that my pink berry is out of peanut butter. What the hell is wrong with America? All right. I'm in a mood today.
Good Lord.
And now it's going to get worse.
The problems of the elite.
What? Yeah, the 1%. My pinkberry is out.
What do you mean you've stopped making peanut butter? Best flavor.
Their flavors are seasonal. I'm waiting for summer when they have watermelon. That's their best flavor.
I've never been to a pinkberry.
Awesome. Okay, let's... All right, now that we have our...
I've had pink eye.
Yeah, first world problems. Welcome to first world problems.
Pink eye, which is not nearly as fun. Yeah. Now it's my mood's only going to get worse because it's time for Right Wing World and Carl Frisch.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Carl Frisch, I bet when Dexter Von Frisch, your dog, poops, you do not leave it there or leave a passive-aggressive note.
Dearest Stephanie, please do not remove my notes from Griffith Park.
Yeah. Now they know who removed the note because you said
about first of all, I pride myself on my rhyming abilities and my penmanship.
Yes.
I never expected my notes to actually make it on television.
What kind of dork brings construction paper and magic markers with them hiking?
Your poo-manship leaves some.
Well, let's be honest. Stephanie, it's Griffith Park. There are a lot of people in that park with too much time on their hands.
Yes.
Including Kirk Cameron.
We don't know that.
I fell off a cliff in that park above the tennis courts 10 years ago.
Wow! Yeah. So that explains a lot of things.
You are the guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's right.
Wow. Okay. Are you okay?
I don't know if I'm okay now.
No, it causes him to make these. I assume the person prepares these notes at home before they go into the park.
They would have to.
Do they go to the park hiking or specifically
to
leave?
Oh, no, it's not at home, Stephanie. I prepare them in my craft shack, which is outside of my home. I like to have them separate.
You're a big dork. All right. Let's, you know, here's my favorite first line of a news story today, Carl. Ted Nugent said he will meet with the Secret Service on Thursday to discuss his controversial comments about President Obama. I will be polite and supportive as I possibly can be, which will be thoroughly, Nugent told Glenn Beck, which is where you normally go to be polite.
Oh, my goodness. I'm wondering if, because, you know, basically his temperament is what we saw.
Yes.
And what we've seen in the past, what he said about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer.
Yes.
That's his temperament. So I'm wondering what his politeness looks like.
Yes, that's.
I imagine that there's not an Emily Post for that.
That's where you go to be polite and supportive. Noted crazy person Glenn Beck's show. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't do that.
We actually have heard.
No, not that. I wanted the Glenn Beck guy get off my phone.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah. Okay, that's all right. All right, there you go. There you go.
Don't forget, this guy is a big-time Mitt Romney backer, and he's a board member of the NRA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, the other news is he got paid a boatload of money for that NRA speech from the NRA. But $50,000, I believe.
Wow.
Well, you know, those threats don't come for free these days.
All right, now let's dive into the right-wing world. Here we go. Ted Nugent on the aforementioned polite and supportive Glenn Beck show.
We actually have heard from the Secret Service, and they have a duty, and I salute them. I support them, and I'm looking forward to our meeting tomorrow. I'm sure it will be a fine gathering. The bottom line is, Glenn, I've never threatened anybody's life in my life. I don't threaten. I don't waste breath threatening.
I just kill people right away.
Conduct myself as a dedicated We the People activist because I've saluted too many flag-draped coffins to not appreciate where the freedom comes from.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, you pulled your own pants to get out of serving in the Vietnam War yourself, but I see.
He's happy to salute the coffins.
Right.
Yeah, of the guys that went in his place.
Well, you know, I always conduct myself, Glenn, with respect for the people who have served. Except when it comes to their commander-in-chief and various members of the Senate. I mean, for people that don't remember, I mean, everybody knows about what he said this time around. But it was only like 2 years ago during, or 3 years ago during the Democratic primaries for president, that he said that he wanted Hillary Clinton to ride his machine gun.
That's right.
And he also said that, then Senator Barack Obama could suck on his AK-47. I'm sorry, is that not a threat? Is that, did he mean that, what, in a gay way? Or did he, in a way he wouldn't pull the trigger? Or what did he mean?
Even if it's not a threat, you know, even if it's extremely hyperbolic language, is this the type of guy that we want somebody like Mitt Romney surrounding himself with?
Right, palling around
And not to mention, he's a board member, or at least was, at the time of those remarks, was a board member of the National Rifle Association, which, you know, my father, my family's been a part of for a very long time. But, you know, should Mitt Romney be speaking at an organization where their board members say this kind of garbage?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the other thing is he hasn't apologized for them, and Mitt Romney has issued his usual tepid, that kind of statement, Jim and I, it always irritates the bejesus out of it, because instead of saying, I am sorry for what my surrogate, whose endorsement I sought, said. He said, Mitt Romney thinks it's important for people on both sides, to be civil.
Yes. Hillary Rosen threatened my wife with an AK-47. Well, no, she didn't.
Right.
She did nothing of the kind.
Right, there we go, Carl, with the false analogies. Like, anything Hillary Rosen said is in any way close to things that Ted Nugent said.
Right, and Hillary Rosen said that one time, right? She made that remark one time. Regardless of what you think about it, it was a one-time thing. This is Ted Nugent. This is his career.
Yeah.
He did not just say these things after Mitt Romney sought his endorsement. He said them well before Mitt Romney sought his endorsement
as
well.
And by the way, Rush Limbaugh to the 10th power, I mean, on record, is calling Hillary Clinton the C word, the B word, calling Dianne Feinstein a whore. I mean, it is really amazing, isn't it?
Well, you know, apparently Mitt Romney has a kind of a thing for pranks that he just won't talk about on TV.
Yeah. Oh yes.
You know, he won't get into his pranking behavior.
Oh yes.
He likes to go in for the, he lives for laughter.
Uh-huh.
And the humor that people find sometimes to bring out laughter. So perhaps this is one of those pranks that he's pulling on America.
Mm. Yeah, by the way, Jim, we'll review some of Mitt's greatest pranks.
Good boy. Mm.
As told by Maureen Dowd a little later in the show. All right, Matt Barber on the Faith and Freedom radio show.
Yeah.
Ah, I've not had the pleasure.
The bully on the playground intimidates. That's what he does, intimidates people into silence, into fear, into avoiding the bully. And oftentimes the bully is the paper tiger. And when the righteous individual who is being bullied defends his or herself and punches the bully in the mouth, guess what? The bully, more times than not, has a glass jaw, falls down, then everyone on the playground says, whoa, the bully was a weakling after all. That's the secularist left. The secularist left are bullies.
What?
They try to bully and intimidate and push religious intolerance and religious bigotry on everyone else.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Oh.
Okay, so,
it's not the Ted Nugents of the world that are bullies. I see.
No. Okay. Yes.
So the left are bullies that need to be punched in the jaw.
Right.
Okay. Because
atheists. Exactly. And, you know, it's good that he said that around the National Day of Silence, too, because we really want people to get beat up. What was the name of that show?
The Faith and Freedom radio show. Yeah. I'd not heard
that.
Oh,
darn it. I just filed for a trademark on the name of that show. I guess I'll have to go with, like, Liberty, Freedom, America.
Yeah.
Bald Eagle Network.
The secular left bully show. All right.
Right.
Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We got to take a quick break. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1. Do the phone number. Carl Frisch. Bullfight Strategies remains in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Todd Starnes on the Fox News Radio.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I feel compelled to talk to you about Hooters this morning. And this smells like something Debbie Wasserman Schultz would cook up. Could you imagine her as your Hooters waitress? Hello, my name is Debbie. Would you like some wings?
As long as the ashes from her cigarette didn't fall into my entree, I suppose I'd be okay.
The rumor is she got fired. Debbie used to work at Hooters. That's the rumor. I'm joking here, of course. She kept giving everybody free.
I'm glad you explained that.
Told them the management will pick up the tab.
That's right.
Oh, Carl. You see, what I'm doing is comedy. I was utilizing humor.
I'm joking, of course.
I love, first of all, two things. One, that his first pronunciation of Hooters was, this one is about Hooters.
Hooters.
So, yeah. And second, where on earth do, you know, freaking libs get the idea that right-wing talk radio is misogynistic or sexist in any way?
Yeah, I don't know. And I was like, and I asked Chris, I'm like, does cancer survivor Debbie Wasserman Schultz smoke? I don't think so. So even the premise of the bit, see, normally good comedy based on truth and, the whole thing just.
Well, and not hate. I mean, that's why it generally doesn't work for them. I mean, you can say mean things about people, but as long as the audience knows that it's coming from a place of love and an endearment, they'll find it funny.
Yeah.
But these right-wingers, you know that in their heart of hearts, it's just black and mean.
Yeah, every time we say Mitch McConnell looks like a turtle, we always suggest that people turn him back, that lift him off his back and put him back upright.
Right.
And I love
turtles. Helpers. Yes, exactly. We're helpers. All
By
right.
the way, it's also an example of that anybody in the conservative sphere can get a radio show.
Yeah, obviously.
But not anybody can be number 11 on the Talkers 100.
There you go. Go, Carl.
Carl Frisch, you big suck-up. Yeah, boy, between Faith and Freedom Radio and Fox News Radio, that was quite a helping of radio crap. Okay, you know what? I don't know what Carl Frisch has ever done to you. Why you must voice 37 seconds of Sarah Palin on him?
Sorry, it's only 36, really. It just feels like 37. Yeah.
I apologize preemptively to the guy who's going to call and say his balls just hit the back of his throat. Here we go.
Unleashing domestic energy production, a.k.a. drill, baby, drill, and frack, baby, frack, and allow pipelines to be built, all of that's very important, and mining our minerals. But when you look at what Barack Obama is actually doing with killing the Keystone Pipeline, the part that he has authority over, actually, and his mission of bankrupting coal companies, which leads to less electricity in the U.S., the things that he's actually doing, not just saying, but what he's actually doing, are burdening our American energy opportunities and making us more reliant on foreign sources.
Is there less oxygen in Alaska being closer to the Arctic Circle? Is
that the well, I think that was remarkably cruel of you guys. That wasn't a real Sarah Palin clip, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
That
it
was just random words chosen that she said out loud at one point or another and then strung together for 30 seconds.
Yes, word salad for breakfast. Oh, frack, baby, frack. There's a new,
I think something very similar to that whenever I hear her on television.
All right, Brian Sussman on Fox News.
The environmentalists have never liked progress and they've never liked capitalism. This is a long-running plot, quite frankly, concocted in the minds of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Use the environment to hammer capitalism. Use capitalism's pollution to absolutely hammer free markets. And that's what they're doing. Steve, the environmental movement isn't about clean air and clean water. We all want that. This is about changing the way in which we live, changing our economy.
God, you idiot.
Yeah, they all want it. These are the same people who will claim that mercury isn't poisonous.
Yes. We all want that. We don't want to...
capitalism. We just don't want to eat our air.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we finished with Rush Limbaugh. Here we go.
How does a guy with no experience at anything,
Obama,
pass himself off as an expert in healthcare and have people believe it? Yeah. Well, that's Axelrod's modus operandi. You create the empty suit, or you find one, and then you make him likable. And then, the key to that is you have to hope that voters don't notice that their elected representatives are governing entirely against their wishes because the candidate's so likable. He's such a nice guy, such an engaging guy. He wouldn't possibly want to take away your freedom. He wouldn't possibly want to change the way the country was founded.
You know, when Rush Limbaugh has one stumpy finger pointing at the president, he's got four stumpy fingers pacing back at himself.
There you go.
You know, for him to say, like, what does this guy know about healthcare with his career? What does Rush Limbaugh know about anything, given his career? You know, I
obviously much more about
on the Kansas City Royals, but
yeah, obviously much more about health and fitness than the president could ever know. All right, Carl Frisch, see you next week.
Have a good one.
All right, love you, honey. Wolf Fight Strategies, Carl Frisch, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You don't even like wine, do you? Yes, I do. I've just never had it right after brushing my teeth. I've had it while brushing my teeth.
I rinse with it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, looky here. It's Thursday. You know what happens.
What?
Gosh, the Republicans voted down something 60%, 70% of the American people want, like the Buffett rule in this case.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Representative Peter Welch joins us now to tell us why. Good morning, Representative.
Well, I don't know that I can tell you why. It doesn't make any sense, but I'll do my best.
And yet here we are again. I know. Let's talk about, you know, why it's still important, the Buffett rule, and where we go from here.
Well, I think there's two things. One, there is a basic element of fairness, and when people know that the fix is in and they're getting ripped off on the tax system, it creates a lot of bitterness, and rightly so. And the Buffett rule basically is about fairness, and saying that if you make $1 million, you pay 30%, which is around what a lot of people pay when you figure out their Social Security taxes, their state taxes, and so on. But the second point, and this is something the president's making, the income inequality we have in this country is the worst it's been since the Depression. And you cannot have a strong and resilient and renewable economy if you don't have broad-based income distribution. It's about opportunity, and it's about a strong economy. And the more we have people struggling, unable to pay their bills, kids getting out of college with $30,000 in debt, not being able to make the expenditures that a young couple or person starting out makes, that's going to weaken the economy. So this is just bad for the long-term health of the U.S. economy to have this income inequality that is so perpetuated and intensified by the Republican policies.
Well, and, you know, there's this propensity to demonize anybody on, you know, the opposite side of the debate as you. I mean, we just finished our Right Wing World feature, Representative, and a couple days ago, of course, they were demonizing Warren Buffett.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't even want to know what they're saying. I mean, he's been diagnosed with prostate cancer. I know that President Obama called to wish him well. But, you know, they literally are saying, oh, for him to allow himself to be used like this, it's like...
They said he was un-American.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I mean, when you don't have the facts on your side, you begin ad hominem attacks, and you attack the messenger, and that's happening a lot. But, you know, let's contrast this with what we're going to take up in the House floor today. Eric Cantor is putting a bill on the floor that will lower taxes for very wealthy people by $46 billion each year. That's a $500 billion tax cut on top of what we already have. That's in contrast to the Buffett rule approach, where we'd actually raise $47 billion and be able to apply that to infrastructure, student loans, and debt reduction. So there's just a radical approach here to basically saying that wealthy people shouldn't pay taxes, and it's based on this, I would say, crazy theory that the more you give to people who have plenty already, the stronger the economy will be, when there's no evidence for that.
By the way, and I love when we played that soundbite about, they said, you know, when has somebody ever let themselves, you know, a billionaire, let themselves be used like this politically? Oh, I don't know. Let's ask Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
ask Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, when you look at the radical policies for basically squeezing the middle class, that's what is happening. And then you look at Citizens United, where we have given enormous political power to corporations and to these loopy billionaires like Adelson from Las Vegas, then you're talking about really compromising economic democracy, which is essential to a strong country, and political democracy, where every person's vote really should be relevant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and once again, speaking of hypocrisy, didn't they use this deem and pass thing that they were screaming about when the Democrats were going to use it to pass something? And the Democrats, of course, didn't. But the Republicans passed this ridiculous budget using this technique, right?
That's exactly right. It's kind of like the Immaculate Conception. I mean, the deem and pass means you don't actually vote on what it is that will become law, because you vote on something else and say that the doing of something, and by voting on A, you make B happen. You can't even explain that to the American people. Because,
yes, it was attached to something really relevant to it, trophy polar bears, right? Yeah.
Well, you just have to have more imagination to keep up with Mr. Cantor's maneuvers here.
Yeah,
that's right. And, you know, there was some possibility, there was some consideration to do that around the health care bill when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker, and all hell broke loose on that. Mind you, rightly so, because I think that when Congress is going to vote on X, it ought to be on X, whatever that policy is. That's the only way there's accountability.
Right.
So we backed off and didn't do the deem and pass, and now the Republicans, on their signature issue, mainly the budget, they're doing the deem and pass.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really, it's just the same play every time. I give you credit for your will to just keep in the trenches and keep fighting. And thanks for checking in with us again, Representative Welch. We appreciate it. We'll talk again real soon.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Representative Peter Welch of the great state of Vermont. And teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny state of Vermont. Do you know Montpelier, Vermont is the smallest state capital in America?
I've heard that.
Not as teeny tiny as Rhode Island. We talked to Senator White House, right? Last week.
That's right.
His state, even teenier, tinier.
You can drive from one corner of Rhode Island to the other in 45 minutes. It's that small.
Yeah, don't you love that, Jim? They attach it to the importing trophy polar bears. They attach it to that bill. Something we can all agree on, slaughtering endangered species. You see? So they just end up, we'll just deem Paul Ryan's horrible budget passed. Because everybody... Okay. All right. Hey, speaking of slaughtering innocent animals, so Ted Nugent, as we said, he's interviewed with the Secret Services today.
Yep.
I bet you he could tell them where to get good hookers. the Secret Services...
How old do you want her to be? Does it matter?
Don't have to be legal, right? Okay. So three Secret Service employees are out of the agency in the wake of the hooker scandal.
Mm-hmm.
The agency says the investigation continues about the misconduct by 11 agents. Remaining eight agents are on administrative leave.
Yeah.
Meaning they have time to do more.
Yeah. Hookers and blow.
Blowing hookers. Yeah. Blowing hookers.
Well, I've heard that this is kind of par for the course. They go out and go to the bar and get hammered and pick up girls, whether they're prostitutes or not. It bothers me that the Secret Service are drinking on duty.
Yeah,
that too.
Not the best idea for a sniper.
And one of the hookers did an interview with the New York Times, and she said, she asked for an $800 gift. Seems like a lot for a hooker.
I don't know.
Well,
what are we like discussing among ourselves how much hookers should cost? I don't know. I never leave my home.
A Colombian hooker.
Let me go check webclam.com and I'll find out what the going rate is.
I don't know.
How cheap are they? I don't know.
It's just a cheap hooker in paradise. It's not very neat and it's not very nice. If you try to stiff her, you better think twice. Because it's a cheap hooker in paradise.
Michelle in Texas. Hey, Michelle, welcome.
Is that a Warren Buffett song?
I told you, secretary, I need about a
minute. Secretary.
The lady, as far as Nugent, he's a coward. He said that about Hillary and the president a couple of years ago. He said this about the president now. If you were any kind of a man, I'm like this here, you go face-to-face with him or with the Secret Service. They need to take Nugent, bring him face-to-face with Obama, and then now let me see what you're going to say about Obama.
Now
and
what you got?
And then again with Sarah Palin, I don't understand this idiot because Rush Limbaugh during the time he was talking about autism and Down syndrome, he damn near called your child retarded. You neither your husband did anything. And as far as Mitt Romney, the record Betty Wright said, no pain, no gain, a piece of man is better than having no man at all.
All right, Michelle, that's piece of man. Great. You got that out of your system.
Wow.
Good. All right. She is plucky. She had a lot to come. By the way, if I called Rebecca my secretary, she would punch me in the throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, secretary!
Go make me some coffee. You know how I like it.
Bobby in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, how you doing,
Good.
Steph?
Good.
I was just going to say, you know that one song by Ted Nugent that he sings, Stranglehold?
Yes.
Well, I think he put himself in one because he's an idiot for what he said at that one little convention that he was at. And I just wanted to tell everybody who's supporting Barack Obama, let's just wait until he gets his second term so he can be more flexible, like he said to the Russian guy over there. And when he is more flexible, things will be better because then he has nothing to lose.
Another thing,
I'm going to school to be...
People have a lot
on
their
radio.
Mind this morning.
Yeah.
Yes, Bobby. You're going to school to be in radio?
Yeah, I want to go to school to be in radio.
Uh-oh.
I've dedicated my life to get the facts and, pretty much, spread it around. And
I
one thing I did notice is that you really got to trust yourself into finding the facts because what you see in the facts is what you tend to believe. So I was wondering what steps I needed to take.
Oh, dear. A lot of drinking.
Yeah.
First have a failed acting career.
First have failed at something else. When all of your dreams have died, this is where you end up as talk radio. I'm sorry to tell you. It's the worst when they ask me to go talk to. I have no training for this. I stumbled into it because it's true.
Yeah.
It's when all your dreams have died. And this is where you end up.
I have a broadcast journalism degree.
Oh,
and
do you?
Good for you.
Yeah,
well, I'm one of the very, very few people that actually works in the industry for which I train. So
yeah, people
I
ask
got
me,
very,
how do you,
very, very lucky.
How do you get in? I'm like, I don't know.
But you got to be willing to do crap at the beginning of your career, like pass out bumper stickers.
How do I get into brain surgery?
What's, anything,
where's the door slam? I'm just always like, yeah, there's no more room, but good luck. Sorry. Yeah, that's what I found that in my career, Jim, that every time, you know, God shuts a door somewhere, he shuts a window, too.
Right.
And I'm screwed.
Probably on your finger, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, 45.
And also, radio is a bit of a shrinking industry, so it's...
We're getting smaller.
Yeah, good luck.
Dare I go further.
Best of luck to you.
Yes, exactly. The door is shut, and I will not put the candle back.
Yeah.
Put the candle back.
That was a reference to the Monsanto ride
at Disneyland. Listen to me very carefully. Mm-hmm. Put the candle back.
All right. No,
it was Adventure Through Inner Space. It wasn't called the Monsanto ride.
It was Monsanto. Right. They to let you know every 5 minutes.
That was an inspirational segment, wasn't it? All right. 46,
yeah. Good luck to you.
Good luck.
Yeah, well.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. I love that call. How do you get into radio?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want a job I can wear my baseball cap.
How do you get out?
Work.
That's the
We just want a job. Trapped. I can't do anything else. I don't know.
See, now I'm doing television at the phase of my career where I've lost the will to live. I'm not taking the baseball cap off. I'm not getting dressed up. Not doing it. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free.
I thought you wore a dress and a tiara when you come to work. So disillusioned.
Jim just wanted a job he can eat during. That's
all.
Yeah,
right. Kathy, well, yeah, like you don't.
I do, too. Kathy, oh, by the way, it's Russian roulette day. I'm eating a day-old sushi.
And sausage.
So good luck to me.
Sushi and sausage.
I just think I'm going to buy it.
Okay, Kathy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I love your program. You are just a ray of sunshine in this very depressing season.
Thank you. I am delightful. Thank you so much.
You are delightful.
I'm a delight. Okay.
Here's my question. I'd like to know maybe if you guys know how these polls are taken. Every day it's up and down. I mean, I don't answer my phone. So
are you talking about the Secret Service scandal?
No, I'm talking about the... Today, Obama his full numbers are up, and tomorrow they're down, and Romney's, et cetera.
Well, here's a way to understand it scientifically. No one likes Mitt Romney, and they never will. That's the important thing you need to maintain. But the polls are they're always going to be up and down. There's always different ways they phrase questions.
Different methodologies.
Right, and different people that they ask. I mean, you know, it makes a huge difference if you ask likely voters or just registered voters.
Yeah, but how do they reach these voters?
I think they do mostly cell phone now, don't they? Because a lot of people don't have landlines.
Cell phone. Yep. No.
Thank God they're not polling my mom because she doesn't have one.
Do you think Obama's more of a socialist or a communist?
Yeah, there's Fox polls, which are their questions like that.
Yeah, Rasmussen asks questions like that.
May I ask you one more thing?
Yes. Yes.
I was surprised that Ed Schultz didn't mention you last night in the top.
I know, because they only did the top 10, and I'm 11.
I know. But thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you. All right. Yes, he did the top 10 radio hosts, and I'm, damn it, 11.
You were just inches away.
I ought to find a rock eyed. Yes, inches from a clean getaway. All right. Can I have some wacky comedy music? Jim!
Hmm?
I know it's hard to stomach the Mitt humor.
Oh.
I had missed this. Somebody found a Maureen Dowd column. This is from back in January, and it's stuff from his the book about him, The Real Mitt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. The Real Willard, they should call it.
Maureen Dowd writes, sure, mittens can be annoying, paying an infuriatingly low tax rate and stashing millions in Swiss banks in the Cayman Islands, like a John Grisham villain, letting Sun Tag tweet a picture of him doing the laundry. But the most annoying thing about him is that he's a prankster. If wit is the most sophisticated form of humor, pranks are the most juvenile W, as you would call it. Big prankster.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the pranks. I hate pranks. Just
hey, Condi, I put an M80 on your chair. Boom! Me should have had those beans for breakfast.
Step on Ruggy. I put a whoopee cushion.
Pull my finger.
Oh, God. This is at the exclusive prep school Cranbrook in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, Mitt was slapstick to a fault, as one of his friends put it to the authors of The Real Romney.
Oh, he's a panic.
Okay, are you ready for this? It's rich guy humor. This is prep school humor. He staged an elaborate formal dinner in the median strip of a busy thoroughfare.
Oh, that is perfect.
He dressed up in uniform similar to that worn by police officer. Stop me if you've heard this. Put a flashing red cherry top on his car, raced after a vehicle carrying two of his male friends and their dates by prearrangements. The friends had stashed their beer bottles in the trunk and knew that Romney would pretend to be an officer chasing them. The dates had no idea the plot. He then arrested his friends, leaving the frightened girls behind for a spell.
That's awful.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah. The authors chronicled Romney's zany side.
Zany?
Mm-hmm. Not just prankster. Zany.
That's the last adjective I use to describe Mitt Romney.
I don't even get this, Jim. As a missionary, he sometimes assumed the voices of cartoon characters in letters home. How do you assume a
in
voice
letter?
In a
voice
letter?
In a letter? Like,
we call it Mickey.
Bickable? You spell with...
Despicable.
Bickable.
What? Later...
Here I come to save the day. Mighty Mouse.
Later, as a, this is
what
apparently
a
when his humor was more...
What an ignoramus.
I am now assuming a high, squeaky Mickey Mouse voice when I tell you.
What a maroon.
Okay. Later, as a Mormon bishop, he once...
They have bishops?
Oh, yes.
...jumped up on a during a meeting with a Mormon counselor and started singing Billie Jean and Moonwalking.
Oh,
that's
my
zany.
God.
A former campaign advisor told me Mitt once flummoxed staffers, creating the illusion that he was on an endless bathroom stop by pouring water in the toilet.
Wow.
Okay.
At least I don't think our president enjoys the toilet humor.
Maybe it's the day-old sushi, or maybe I'm actually feeling like I'm going to vomit, but okay. Stephanie in Illinois on Mittens. I lost Steffi. Okay.
That's just a prank.
You see what I did? I said there was going to be a phone call.
And you're under arrest.
Sahara in Ottawa, Canada. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sahara.
Hey, Stephanie. Oh, finally I'm on.
Yes.
Long time caller. First time on Current.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, just before I get to my point, I just want you to know that I got to meet a sexy liberal, Glenn Greenwald. He came last week to Ottawa.
Oh, awesome, awesome. All right, go ahead. Got about 20 seconds.
And he also, just like you, he loves his box wine.
Yes, and who doesn't? All right, 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yes. Also, did you see that interview him and his wife, Anne, had on ABC Nightly News?
Yes, I love the turn. It's his turn.
It just, this showed that she is just as stiff and infuriating as Mitt.
Yeah.
Like, I love John, but she is not a knockout.
Oh, I think she's very attractive.
She is.
That was, I mean, really? It's our turn? I mean, read a book on democracy.
Yeah, everybody
like, should
gets
we just
turn.
Cancel the election? It's really, I mean, just that sense that they're entitled or they think it's a coronation.
I don't have a sense of entitlement. It's just our turn.
It's our turn. For God's sakes. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa,
unusual show prep. I'm looking at kitty videos. Kitty, no.
What's Kitty
have
doing?
Have you seen the kitty with the, he's got the goofy face and he pants like a dog? Oh, Kitty, no. He's like the sick. Mr. Winkle of cats.
He's like the what?
He's you know Mr. Winkle, that dog that's unbelievably cute, that's tongue sticks out all the time?
No.
There's a cat like that. Okay.
He's having some kind of neurological problem.
Yeah, are you okay?
No, he's not having a neurological problem.
Are you having a neurological problem?
Yes, I am. Well, as you know, in case you hadn't heard the breaking news, I've lost my battle against cat allergies. So we had to move my girlfriend Lisa's cats back to her apartment, which that's what cats want anyway, right? Their own apartment?
Yeah.
I did the, you know, I've done allergy tests in the past. I've done a, what do they call it, prick test. Which
Sorry,
is
what?
The way a lot of people refer to the Republican primary this year. But my point is... Yeah, they do.
The results of the test, you don't have one.
Yeah. No, they do little, they prick you with each allergen you know, on your back, and then you have reactions. And I'm 4D, unfortunately, for cats. And we tried, I have an air cleaner basically in every square inch of my house. I had one attached to my face directly like this, and it didn't work.
What if it turns out you're allergic to air?
Maybe I'll need to be the girl in the bubble.
Yeah,
I'll
allergic
to,
life.
The radio show from a plastic bubble, like the John Travolta movie. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Big show coming up. We have Kerry Washington, actress extraordinaire, coming up. Representative Gerald Connolly next hour, and then Nancy Gibbs, editor for Time Magazine. Mm-hmm. She has a great new book out, The President's Club, Inside the World's Most Exclusive Fraternity.
Yeah.
Okay. So, StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Lots of tickets going fast for all the upcoming shows. This one from Stacy. Steph, thanks for being on TV. Now I get absolutely nothing done at all. Awesome. We're getting a lot of those reports. Productivity plummeting across
America. Yeah, that's not helping the president.
I don't care.
All right, fine.
How do I help me? That's all I care about. Can't wait to see you again at the Pantages in July. Oh, that's right, the big July 28th show here in L.A. I'm going to wear Depends this time in case I pee. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Oh, speaking of reviews, my mom has dictated another letter to my brother for Bill's machine, as she calls it, his computer. Because she doesn't have a computer, so she calls him, and then he's like her stenographer, and then he sends it to me. But it's very sweet. From Mom. Mom says, Steffi, hooray for your meteoric rise and your show's rating. I'm one proud mama.
Oh.
My 89-year-old Republican mom, who hates everything I say.
That method doesn't seem all that good, because why doesn't she just save a step and just call you and dictate to you directly?
I don't know.
That just seems like an extra step.
Bill, I have something to say to Steffi. Could you write it on your machine and send it to her?
I think she's baffled by it.
I'm surprised I don't
machines.
Get carrier pigeons. She does not believe in technology at all. All right. Except TV. Hi, Mom. Okay. all right. Let's see. Oh, some fun facts. Ted Nugent fun facts. How about that?
All right.
One from Keith in San Diego.
I wonder if your mom likes Ted Nugent.
Oh, I bet she's a big fan. Big fan.
Sure.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
That rock and or roll music.
Oh, dear.
Didn't he play with Lawrence Welk?
Not since I came home from high school one day and she said, Steffi, your Geekwood Flat tickets arrived.
Geekwood
what?
Flat?
Fleetwood Mac. Okay.
Sounds like a country band, actually.
Yeah.
Geekwood Flats.
Stephen the Mooks, could you read aloud from the personal and family life section of Ted Nugent's, it's like Wikipedia or wherever. How can he even open his mouth about conservatism? His personal life, a train wreck. He has kids out of wedlock, not paying child support, going after a 17-year-old girl when he was 30. Yeah, I hadn't heard the details of that.
That's gross.
Yes, just a little.
Yeah.
It's, oh dear, it's the 10th power.
Mm-hmm.
In 1978, he began a relationship with a 17-year-old. Due to the age difference, they couldn't marry, so he joined her parents in signing documents to make himself her legal guardian.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Ew. Icky parents.
Yeah.
Ew. Wow, this is an achievement. An arrangement that Spin magazine ranked number 63 on their 100 sleaziest moments in rock. Now, that's saying there's been some sleazy moments in rock.
So apparently he's going to be polite with the Secret Service. Ted Nugent being polite is when he only wings you.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Hmm. Okay, so the president on the campaign trail, I wonder who he was talking about. He said, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
Yeah.
He said, somebody gave me an education. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Michelle wasn't, but somebody gave us a chance. And then he went on to say,
right now we have two competing visions of our future. And the choice could not be clearer. And let me say, those folks on the other side, I am sure they are patriots. I'm sure they're sincere.
Oh, I'm sincere.
In terms of what they say. But
nothing, if not sincere.
Their theory, I believe, is wrong.
No, Mitt Romney is not sincere. Oh, he will say whatever he needs to get elected.
That's what you think when you see Mitt Romney sincere.
But I believe it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said, right, should we settle for an economy where a few people do really well, Mitt, and then a growing number of people are struggling to get by? Mitt Romney.
Since he was sworn in, more Americans have lost jobs. He didn't turn that around, put people back to work. Actually, more have lost jobs. More homes have been lost. No. Gas prices have doubled.
No.
And furthermore,
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
By the way, can you load the liar cannon? Yes. He went on, where is it, CNBC with Larry Kudlow, and he defended his decision to release only 2 years of tax returns. Hmm. He said John Kerry also released only two years. John Kerry, in fact, released 20 years. He dropped a zero there. 20 years.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
The question is, were you lying then? Are you lying now? Or are you not, in fact, a chronic and habitual liar?
And what's with journalism? Isn't there a basic where someone can go, no, that is a big fat lie? Kerry released 20 years.
Yeah.
You'll have to leave it there.
Mike in Illinois, you're on.
Both sides are at fault.
Lecture Hillary Rosen. I don't have time to do any basic research.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, Mike.
Ted's words were incendiary, and some people might find them life-threatening. Is Missouri a stand-your-ground state?
Yeah.
And what's the expiration date on a threat? And can I carry that threat interstate?
Yeah.
The other point I want to make is support the rights of non-gun owners, tax, title, and insure guns.
Yep. All good points. All right. Joanne in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Joanne.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so appreciative to have a program to finally view on television that supports the other side of the conservatives.
Thank you.
I'm retired now 17 years, and when they took all the radio stations off and put Rush Limbaugh on every other radio station in my car, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Well, Joanne, that's actually, we owe Current a big thanks, because they're not only bringing progressive radio to places where they don't have it, but, TV as well.
That's right.
It's awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I wish your television show was available to the mass public,
if you call your cable provider and scream, it may be.
But people don't have, normal people who are, middle class now, they've been canceling their cable because of the price, the economy, we can't afford that. But just on your regular three stations, I wish, because I stopped watching the news on those stations, and I'm just fortunate that I can afford to have, the cable station.
Well, I urge people to forego groceries in order to get my television show.
Because those ladies that called earlier, I'm with them. I'm just so happy. You make my whole day now, because with you and Bill Press, it's just wonderful and refreshing. Because
Thank you, Joanne.
I sit here and I think about the Republican Party. I've worked 32 years in personnel and human resources, and I was there with the women's movement in the 60s, and we fought for every right.
You, bra burner, you.
You know, yes, that's what we were called. I had a husband who called me a bra burner, a ball buster, and all the others.
Yeah, awesome.
And,
On. When I had surgery a couple months back, I looked around in the operating room and I saw all these nurses, and I said, oh my God, you're all female. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, we fought for you to be in here.
Joanne, thank God you did the work, because I am not giving up my sports bra, seriously. At my age, forget about it. There is no...
Thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you for hard work. So that I can support my tatas. Okay, by the way.
With a lot of support.
Right?
Yeah.
They're like, it's like a tourniquet, for God's sakes.
It makes you look like a boy.
Shut up.
What?
Linda in Cincinnati, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
Stephanie.
Yes.
I want it to be known and pay special attention to the debates that are forthcoming with Barack Obama, our president, mm-hmm. and Romney.
Yep.
His doctrine under the Mormon religion taught them to despise and have disdain for blacks, that they were subhuman, for lack of a better word.
Yep.
Watch him in the debate and see how his sense of arrogance, ignorance, and there's a thin line to me between the both.
Well, I mean, you know, Linda, that and polygamy obviously were in the early phases of the church.
Right.
But you're right, you know, that absolutely has been part of the Mormon religion.
Yeah.
Of course, they will say it's not now, but
once was.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mittens on the
president. He said if we let him borrow $787 billion, mm-hmm. he would hold unemployment below 8%. And it has not been below 8% since. What you're not going to hear is that during his term, median income in America has dropped by $3,000.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, it first of all, saved or created millions of jobs,
yeah.
the stimulus. And by the way, stay tuned because it probably will drop below 8, and then Mittens will be like, oh, more.
Oh.
He'll get caught on tape like he did a month ago saying, the economy's getting better. What did I just say? Oh, no.
Oh, oops.
Oops. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie
The what?
Stephanie
Show. I'm having an event.
I guess so. Do we need to get you to a doctor? Claire.
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sorry about that brain-related event, everybody. Nobody help me. I'm fine. Everything's good.
Yeah, we gave you a Heimlich and you're good.
Either I have to talk too much for a living or I don't know.
I was just in the middle of chest compression. And then
I just named a new Romney kid. I just said,
That's the first time you've done anything like that.
I had a scream-related event, and I apologize.
Be right back on the Stephanie.
Steve in Detroit. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Great show.
Thank you.
I talked to you a couple weeks back about Nugent. I'm telling you, this guy is just, you give him enough rope, he's going to hang himself. Now he's got to go sit in front of the principal.
Yeah.
And him and Romney are just the same. They were both born and raised there. They can't draw anything. Romney can't even, he won't even win the general here. Nugent couldn't sell out anything. And as you know, last night, our president was at the Illich's. And the Illich is Detroit. They have the money. And the president knows if Detroit gets rocking, that the country will start rocking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And by the way,
and I think everybody in the United States of America knows that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's why the auto industry,
what you're doing and is just fabulous. It's just awesome.
Well, thank you. All right, it's marvelous. It's as marvelous as Paul Ryan's budget plan.
It's just marvelous.
All right, oh, looky here. Romney's campaign shakes the Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be the most pathetic ever, because he already is the biggest flip-flopper in the history of flip-flopping. He has had to go so far to the right, as we've said, in this primary. This is just going to be painful. It's going to be pathetic. But it has already started. Mitt Romney distancing himself from the author of some of the toughest anti-immigration laws in the country, Kris Kobach.
Yep.
That guy?
Yep.
The first in what is expected to be a series of moves aimed at winning over crucial Latino voters. As President Obama said, he should just play the Republican debates on an endless loop on Univision. That's all you need to do. I mean, Kobach, responsible for tough anti-immigration legislation in Arizona and other states, has been demoted from Romney's advisor to just a supporter. Now he doesn't remember who this guy is exactly.
Who's this guy?
Romney highlighted the role of Kobach in his campaign during the primaries in states such as South Carolina, where there's a strong anti-immigrant feeling. But with the primaries all but over, Romney beginning to pivot toward a position more sympathetic to Latinos. Oh, please. You are pathetic. Polls consistently show Obama, of course, enjoying a 2-to-1 advantage over Romney among Latinos. Romney, speaking at a fundraiser at the weekend, admitted his campaign is doomed if he can't win over Latinos. So here go the ham-handed flip-flops and panders. Axelrod, David Axelrod tweeted, Etch-a-sketch moment after telling donors he's doomed unless he picks up Latinos. Mitt puts the kibosh on Kobach. In February, Kobach told The Guardian Romney had discussed imposing a nationwide crackdown on illegal immigrants if he were elected president. This is where he got the self-deport thing from. He said he thinks as many as half of the undocumented immigrants here could be made to flee, would self-deport. That's where he got that from, this guy.
Well, yeah, it was a joke. It was...
He was effusive welcoming this guy's endorsement just in January. With Chris on the team, I look forward to working with him to take forceful steps to curtail illegal immigration and to support states like South Carolina and Arizona that are stepping up to blah, blah, blah.
So back then he was on the team.
Yes.
Now he's just,
he's
you know,
a supporter.
He's one of
he's
those
some
supporters
guy that,
out
there. Yeah, uh-huh.
Like any other supporter. Okay, gotcha.
And I love this, Jim. They're talking now about proposing a Republican version of the DREAM Act. What would be the Republican version of the DREAM Act? I don't...
A nightmare?
Yeah.
Yes. Make them into mulch, maybe? I don't...
How many poor people should be turned into mulch?
Oh, it's just pathetic. All right. Let's go to Ashley in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Ashley.
Hey there, Stephanie.
Hello.
I'm so glad I found you.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, well, I've got current now, so I'm really glad. Yay. Okay, I'm going to... Get to the point real quick because I know gotta go all that. Okay, first of all, I just want to say the Republican dream.
Yes,
I've got it. It's an oligarchy.
And
the rest of us will all be slaves. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, I myself.
Well, I don't know if slaves. I'm sure they pay the dressage horse.
Well, you know what?
Handlers.
There's a fair wage. So you could live,
yes.
And there's a wage where you got to work three jobs. That's slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the other thing, real quick, is when I was growing up in the '60s. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I had an interest in politics in fourth grade. Okay. Because our teachers in Seattle talked about it, civics. Okay, was real. The thing is that Johnson had the war on one word that you don't hear him talk about. Poverty.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Okay? And now I am formally in the medical field. Formally,
yep.
I ended up disabled. I'm on disability. Oof. And food stamps. They gave me 200. They cut it down to 100.
Oy vey, I know everybody's going through this. All right, extras. Kerry Washington next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The only person she hasn't slept with is you. Mm-hmm. Or William Shatner.
Who is it, me or William Shatner?
It makes a difference to me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere.
Who hasn't slept with William Shatner?
Here's the thing about living here in Hollywood. Do you often, you'll see somebody out somewhere, supermarket hiking, and go, wow, that person's way... too good looking to be human, and you're like, oh, it's famous actress or actor so and so, Larvin.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me. I was at an Obama rally back during the election. I'm like, well, that woman's not real. And she wasn't. It's Kerry Washington, the famous smoking hot actress.
Yeah.
Good morning, famous smoking hot actress Kerry Washington.
Good morning, famous hot radio personality, awesome person, comedian, political pundit person.
Yeah. Do you remember that rally? I swear to God, I'm looking around, I'm going, oh, I am not good looking enough to be here. I don't know.
I do remember. It was so fun.
Yeah. That was back in the day. Are you happy? I'm still a happy, clappy liberal. I get called an Obama apologist every day and say, thank you.
I am really happy. I'm incredibly amazed at what he's been able to accomplish in this first term, and I am excited to go out there and make sure that this administration has a second term to finish the promises that have been made.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Kerry, we posted a top 50 Obama accomplishments that I think it was where Jim or Chris in Washington Monthly, and right-wing heads exploded. We had trolls coming out of the woodwork going insane. about what he is, you know, he has accomplished quantifiably against, you know, really unprecedented obstructionism. Don't you think?
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, in the face of people who are just sort of resistant to things because they come from this administration, which is ridiculous. I mean, that's not the best interest of the American people to sort of make politics a political disagreement, a personal disagreement.
Carrie, have you always been political, or did you just get more political during this last election cycle, or what?
No, I mean, I've always been really political. My parents are political people. I come from, like, a real union family. So I've always been really involved. I volunteered during the Kerry campaign. I also happen to really like what posters that they carry for president look like. But I was pretty active during that campaign, went down to Florida. But, yeah, I did. I guess I was just sort of more well-known in the campaign in 08 than I had been before. But I always say that to people. I don't participate because I'm a celebrity. I participate, or a so-called celebrity anyway. Right. I participate because I'm an American. Because we're so lucky enough to live in a representational democracy, and our representatives can't lead us if we don't let them know what we want and how we feel. So it's important for us to participate. It's important for us to protest. It's important for us to show up on Capitol Hill. And, you know, for me, I've always done a lot of arts advocacy work, kind of walking around the Capitol, helping people to understand how important arts education is and community arts support. So those are kind of where my passions lay.
I can tell. I remember you got up and spoke at that rally, and I thought, damn, she's smart and well-spoken, too. I thought she was just here to be eye candy. Oh, well. Now, when I see you on the campaign trail next year, I'm having it written in my contract. I just can't be photographed with you again. But anyway.
Come on. Yeah, it's coming from you.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people remember you as Ray Charles' wife in the movie Ray. It's interesting, this new series, and Chris's friend loves it, watches all the time. ABC, it's called Scandal.
Yeah, love the show.
But I mean, is it a...
Good.
Is it a coincidence that you happen to be really political as a person, and this is a political thriller, right?
Well, it's funny. I mean, the show is based on this real-life woman. It's inspired, I always like to say, by a real-life woman named Judy Smith, who actually has a crisis management firm. And she has worked with everybody from Monica Lewinsky to Michael Vick.
Right.
So literally, when people have a situation that they feel like they don't know where else to go, they can't go to the cops, they don't want to handle this in the judicial system, they don't want the media to find out, they need to have an unfixable problem solved, they go to Judy. And that's what we play on Scandal. We play a crisis management firm, Pope & Associates, and I play Olivia Pope, who is at the center of that firm. And so it's not exactly a political thriller, because the crisis that walks in our door every week is everything from entertainment to big business to labor to sports. You never know who's going to walk in the door. But character, like the real Judy Smith, who used to work for the first Bush White House, my character used to work at the White House. I always say that the character is inspired by Judy and not based on Judy, however, because my character has a slightly, if not more slightly, inappropriate relationship with the President of the United States.
Kissed the President.
My
character kissed the President in the Oval Office. Judy Smith never, ever kissed the first President Bush, I promise you.
Oh, please, you played Idi Amin's wife. I mean, how much worse can it get? I mean... I misread that, because I thought you said she did crisis management in the George W. Bush administration. I'm like, that entire thing was a crisis, his whole presidency. So that would have been.
She was working in Washington for the district attorney's office, and the White House saw her on TV handling the whole Marion Barry, you know, crack smoking thing.
Right.
And that's when the first Bush White House was like, who is that woman who is so amazingly dealing with the media around this mayor who's smoking crack? We need to get her in this White House.
Well, I think, as we all recall, the bitch set him up.
Yeah.
You have the greatest laugh. Yeah. I have to say, it really is a great premise for a series, because you think there really are that really is a thing, crisis management, because you look at all the, you know, particularly in our news cycles these days, where there's always a gotcha moment with somebody, isn't there? Almost every news cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's so funny because now on Twitter, people are constantly tweeting me about real scandals. Like, I know anything about what to do with them. I'm like, you should probably be tweeting the writers of this show. But every, like, this new Secret Service thing, people are like, Olivia Pope needs to get on this. What are you doing? And I'm like, Olivia Pope is not real. I don't know what to tell you.
See, that's how good an actress you are. Like, I am not actually crisis manager, nor am I married to Ray Charles or Idi Amin, but thank you for your... Carrie, you're going to be active again in this next election cycle, correct?
Absolutely. I'm in the administration, so I was appointed 3 years ago to the President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities, and the First Lady is an honorary co-chair, and we're an advisory committee to the White House on issues dealing with the arts and humanities and arts education, cultural institutions. So it's really exciting to,
wow,
to be participating in that way, but I will be out on the stump again for sure.
What do you think our biggest challenge is going to be in this in the re-election of the president?
There's so many concerns, but one of the things I think is that we have to make sure people know their rights, their voting rights. You know, we have to make sure that people have the correct paperwork, that everything
right
is on the up and up. We have to be watching the polls. We really have to make sure that people are able to exercise their right to vote. So that's one of the things that I'm really committed to participating and making sure it happens in the right ways.
Absolutely.
For sure.
By the way, you mentioned the First Lady, Michelle Obama. How awesome. There's a new poll out.
She's so fabulous.
I know. I've never met her, but there's a new poll out saying 30% of Americans like Michelle Obama more than Ann Romney. Ha ha, neener.
I've never met Ann Romney, so I can't say, but I will tell you Michelle Obama is the real thing. I mean, she is just smart and gracious and elegant. I always like reminding people that when the two of them met, she was his boss.
That's awesome.
That's so fabulous.
That's so awesome. I mean, when the right wing demonizes her, I literally think, what are you talking about? She literally, I just think, is one of the classiest, as all the things, all the ways you just described her.
Yeah, she really is. She's such an inspiration, too, I think. You know, I mean, we joke around a lot, you and I, about being, you know, smart and political and beautiful, you know. But she's really the embodiment of a woman who is unafraid to be and have it all, you know, to be elegant and beautiful and not say, oh, if I'm beautiful, I can't be smart. Or if I'm elegant, right, that means I can't be politically fierce and powerful. You know, that she's willing to be all of those things. It kind of redefines the woman. You don't have to choose between being pretty or smart. You can be it all.
Yeah. Listen, of all the letters I get from the White House daily, when it says Michelle Obama wants you to, I do it. You know what I'm saying? I do whatever.
Absolutely the same way.
I'm like, I know she's just writing to me personally, so I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
Carrie, the series is Scandal on ABC. Airs at what time?
It airs at 10, 9 Central, and actually tonight during the Eastern and Central airing, I'm going to be live tweeting during the show. So at Carrie Washington, very simple, no underscores, no anything, just at Carrie Washington. And the show has a Twitter too, at Scandal ABC, but I will be live tweeting all through tonight's episode, and lots of cast members will be, so definitely
awesome.
Tune in and log on.
Carrie, you are an amazing actress. You are smart. You are funny. You're political. You don't even have the decency to be a bitch. And I don't know what to say about that. I like you, and I. All right, Carrie. See you.
I can't wait to see you out on the stump again.
Me too, honey. Best of luck and congratulations on the series. Talk again soon.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for watching.
All right. All right.
Thanks,
Carrie.
Bye-bye.
Oh, don't you hate it when they're nice? I'm going to have another brain-related event now.
Next time we'll have her in studio.
Ooh.
See, you can't. That's why you can't.
Because
it's squeezy. Because it's squeezy McFeel pants over there.
Uh-huh. All
I'm
right.
Looking at pictures of her right now, and she is all that.
Yes, she is.
I think Jim's the one that made sure that guest microphone is that close to him.
You know, here, let me help you with that button there, Missy.
Oh, God.
Ew. 40.
Ew.
No.
45.
Wasn't my plan at all.
Of course not. 45 minutes after the hour.
Chris crashes into my chair every time he comes around.
Yeah, and you're agoraphobic, so that close to people?
Not Al-Gore-phobic.
No.
We are pro-Gore. No, we are pro-Gore-phobic. What? Huh? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
How was I?
How bizarre that that was a hit.
No, it's catchy. Come on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Make the most of your color with the very best paint. Ask Sherwin-Williams. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Telling the awesome Kerry Washington, if you expected Rosengate to give Ann Romney a leg up on the First Lady, you thought wrong.
Yep.
A new CNN poll finds 71% of potential voters view Ms. Obama favorably, a stark contrast to 41% who think highly of Anne. This is a noticeable jump in popularity for the current First Lady, who had a 65% approval rating in September. There you go. Okay, just saying.
How bizarre.
How bizarre. Mittens on the campaign trail.
You will not hear that 400,000 North Carolinians are out of work. You will not hear that 93% of the people who've lost their jobs during the Obama years have been women. Those are things you will not hear.
How many times are you going to repeat
but
this
as
lie?
I'm the nominee for our party, I hope I'm going to make sure the people of America hear those things loud and clear.
I want you to hear my lies loud and clear.
Yes, let me say it even louder.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah, let
You're
me say that louder.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Oh, JR wants to say the same thing. JR in Miami. Hi, JR. Welcome.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I'd like to say thanks to Currents for having you on, because you're making my whole... I mean, this is the best way to start the day.
Well, thank you for waking up with me.
Oh, definitely. Beautiful sunshine here in Miami, and I'll, you know, whenever you want to come down, come on down. But I just got to say, Mitt Romney is a liar.
Yep.
And just what you said. Okay, first of all, yes, under the Obama administration, women have lost a lot of jobs. But don't forget the Tea Party, when they lied and they said they would bring jobs, and they got all these people that was depressed that they couldn't find work at the time, believing in them. As soon as they took office, they cut a lot of state jobs.
Yep.
They cut a lot of,
Jared, that's a good point. Had public sector jobs kept up with how many private sector jobs we've been gaining, the unemployment rate would be, much lower, obviously. But it's exactly. Because they seem to root for, firing cops and firemen and teachers for some reason, All right. As usual, the boner says everything's the president's fault.
The president checked out last Labor Day.
Right.
He spent the last 6 months campaigning from one end of the country to the other.
Hey, I got a question. Is it impolite to be orange after Labor Day? Because he's orange.
I checked out a little time ago. I just live in a tavern. I didn't even show up on the floor at the floor.
Mike in Seattle. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Hey, love the show.
Thank you.
It's pretty much my Graceland, so big fan here. Just heard you talking about how Romney has obviously a big choice coming up with his VP pick. And
yes.
It struck me that President Obama also has an important choice to make coming up. And I guess the Team Blue does too in a general sense. And that's who will give the keynote address at the convention in Charlotte.
Yeah, in the DNC, right.
Yeah. And I'm interested in your take on my personal favorite for this. Not that my choice matters much, but that would be Elizabeth Warren. I was interested in what you would think about Warren as the keynote speaker.
I think that's a spectacular idea, because I got to say, we were just in Madison, and I'm telling you, this was, basically the birthplace of the 99% movement, but Elizabeth Warren is the one that's been articulating that almost, before anybody, and so I think that's a bully idea. Bully on that.
Bully.
All right, the president talking about the GOP cuts.
If these cuts are spread out evenly, then 10 million college students, including some of you, would see your financial aid cut by an average of more than $1,000 each.
Yep, and like Representative Peter Welch was saying in our first hour today, that those are the kinds of cuts that the Republicans want to make today. That's the kind of thing that Eric Cantor is proposing today.
Yeah,
and we need to fight against.
What the president's right. You couldn't. I mean, it couldn't be clearer the choice in this election cycle. The president again.
Because they know folks wouldn't like it.
What, yeah.
But if you've got to cut a certain amount of money, and they've already said they're not going to cut defense spending, and they're going with their tax cuts, then you got to go to all the other stuff that's left over.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Mitch McLiplis on this. Senator Mitch.
Washington's been spending more than $1 trillion a year, more than it takes in. And Senate Democrats don't even have the courage to put it all in black and white.
How many times must we go over that the deficit was largely caused by tax cuts for the rich?
Yes.
Tax.
And
two wars that weren't
paid for. Wars, yes.
Uh-oh.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
All right. You've had history this morning.
In 2010, Republicans accused Democrats of rushing their massive government takeover of health care through Congress, considering an unconstitutional legislative trick. It was called Deem and Pass. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yep.
I thought it was Deem and Pass at first, but it's Deem and Pass. Deem it's
and
different.
Deem and Pass.
Yeah, lost them up there by Deem and Pass.
So Democrats ultimately abandoned it. Republicans now relying on the very same procedure to advance Paul Ryan's awful budget.
Mm-hmm.
GOP leaders advancing the House Republican budget and its proposed changes to Medicare, destruction of... Medicare, despite opposition in the Democratic-led Senate, by using a relatively obscure procedural move, tucking it alongside an unrelated bill, as I said earlier, that would allow the importation of trophy polar bears. See, then they just tack Paul Ryan's awful budget on that.
That
essentially deems the budget from Paul Ryan already passed, even though the blueprint with its tax breaks and cuts was dead on arrival in the Senate. And public opinion shows Americans overwhelmingly oppose the Paul Ryan budget and its changes.
The budget seems
to Medicare.
Seems like it should be something a little more important than just a tack on to something like.
Yeah, and who wrote the polar bear bill?
Budget,
like
smudget.
What is it, Ted Nugent's bill? What?
Yeah, I think we should kill all the polar bears.
Mike in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Just a little bit of truth, man. I got to tell you, I don't think it matters what party's in power. If you look at the scandals that are coming down. Mm. Obama's polls numbers. Now, I'm an Obama supporter, but look at the GSA and the big blowout party in Vegas, the CIA or the Secret Service in Colombia.
Republicans and Democrats are both pretty much equally furious over the GSA.
You know what? Look at the wars. Obama bombed Tripoli with drones killing innocent people, and they called it a malfunction. And you got all this money, and government's a huge corporation, and it's corrupt.
No, it's not. It's a government. It's not a corporation. It's a government.
Yeah, the biggest corruption organization in America is the U.S. government.
Hmm.
And we need to downsize it. That's where the Tea Party came
from. Okay, yeah, you're not an Obama supporter.
Hello, Stephanie. I am an Obama supporter. I just stumbled across your show.
And both sides are at fault.
That was like a pinball machine. GSA scandal, Tripoli, drones. Huh?
If we just get rid of the government and just the people.
The head of the Secret Service was a Bush appointee.
I just like any conversation that starts where somebody calls me man. All right.
Man?
He called me man.
That's right, man. You know,
government's corrupt, man.
Just got rid of the government, man. Everything would be okay, man.
All righty. 58 minutes after the hour.
Dude's not here, man.
What am I, Ann Coulter?
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie
Nancy
Miller.
Gibbs.
Yes, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I think I'm on Governor Granholm's show tonight on Current TV.
You think?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I hope so. And then tomorrow, sexy liberal John Fugelsang right here live in studio with us.
That chair.
He's been doing some stuff over at Current all this week as well. So very exciting. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Well, it's not often a book is both gossipy and cool and also really smart.
Yeah.
And only Nancy Gibbs from Time Magazine could pull that off. It's called The President's Club, Inside the World's Most Exclusive Fraternity. She joins us now. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
What a great idea and what a great book, I have to say.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Thank you.
Well, you know what? You sum it up best. These are men who have worked at the same desks, slept in the same beds, shaved in the same mirrors, raised their children in the same backyard. So it really is, it is the most exclusive fraternity, isn't it?
Well, it's very hard to join. You pretty much have to, you know, win a national election, which we're being reminded right now is no easy thing to do. But, you know, what we found is that we're so used to looking at presidents individually, sort of up there on the global stage. When you look at them in relationship to each other and how they got along in pairs, in trios, in quartets, you suddenly see a lot of them completely differently. And that's what was so fun about doing this book.
Well, that's the part of it, the personal relationships, which in sometimes are surprising because you think, oh, these are political opposite or they were enemies that hated each other. And, you know, but as you say, it's like they have such a unique understanding of that job. So it leads to some surprising relationships. What was the one that surprised you most?
Well, the first one that we write about, which is sort of the pair that founded the modern President's Club, is Herbert Hoover and Harry Truman, who probably two presidents who could not be more politically opposite from one another. In fact, Truman said, yeah, he's to the right of Louis XIV, but it doesn't matter. We never talked about politics anyway. We talked about what it's like being president.
Well, I mean, and it goes right up through. I mean, a lot of people in more recent times, you look at the George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, right?
Who became, you know, the Bush family now has become so close to President Clinton, they have a nickname for him. They call him their brother from another mother.
Yes.
And, you know, so you see him, he vacations with the father, he does fundraisers with the son, and he, you know, escorted Barbara Bush at Betty Ford's funeral. He's, you know, he really has sort of become a member of the extended Bush family.
Yeah, really, the bromance of all bromances, him and the senior Bush, right? I mean,
right.
And yet, you know, that was, I mean, again, politically, they really, those were some hard-fought battles. So even to this day, it continues.
Well, you know, one of the sort of rituals of the club happens when even, yes, of course, Bill Clinton and George Herbert Walker Bush fought out that 1992 campaign fiercely, as always happens. But after Clinton won, President Bush wrote him a note, as traditionally presidents write to their successors. And among the things he says is, by the time you read this, you will be our president. And I'll be rooting hard for you.
Yeah.
And that kind of handoff, you know, that they want to see the president succeed. They know how important it is for the country. And his son had all of the living presidents to the White House after the 2008 election to meet the new guy. And the same thing happened. George W. Bush said to Barack Obama, you know, whether we're Democrat or Republican, we want you to succeed. We know that the office matters more than any individual. And that is really much kind of the abiding philosophy of this group of men who, however much they may have fought or disagreed politically, are united by, I think, a larger cause.
Well, here's one of the parts I loved best. George H.W. Bush, you're right, understood maybe better than any of them what a young president needed most, which had nothing to do with problems or messages delivered. Sometimes that was as simple as quietly stopping by the White House and telling him jokes. George H.W. Bush stops and tells Barack Obama jokes?
Yeah, he's a great storyteller, and so he would come to town, he would sort of quietly slip in. There was one visit where Jeb was with him, and they went by the White House, and it's, you know, it isn't giving him advice about what to do about Afghanistan. It's sort of, you know, the real message is don't let the bastards get you down. And again, a lot of this has to do with they know what that job does to you. They know how hard it is to sit in that chair.
Are they knock-knock jokes? What kind of jokes does he favor?
I don't think they are of the knock-knock variety.
You write that Obama was cool to George W. Bush, has quietly wooed Bush one since taking office. President Obama closer to George Sr., I take it.
Didn't think I was going to do it, but I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would...
Right.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. He's closest to and really worked very hard to reach out to the senior President Bush. Went down to his presidential library and gave a speech honoring him for his public service. And has really been very solicitous of him.
What Nancy, you write about his relationship with Bill Clinton. That how would you describe that?
Well, you know, one senior advisor who knows them both said, you know, three words: no love lost. This is a complicated relationship between you know, two guys. Obviously, the 2008 campaign was tough, and the fact that Obama defeated Clinton's wife for the nomination was obviously going to leave some scar tissue behind. But what we saw happening was that once Obama was in office, he had sort of suggested that he felt that Clinton's presidency was a missed opportunity. Too many small initiatives, too much compromise, didn't seize the moment that he had at that period in American history, and that Obama was, he was going to be the transformational figure. Well, you get into office and you start having to cut the deals and, you know, make the compromises, and all of a sudden you realize that, you know, this is all a lot harder than it looks. And so starting really in 2010, he has reached out to Clinton much more. He has sent his campaign team to Clinton's office in New York to consult with him. Now Clinton is starring in one of Obama's campaign videos. He appears four times in 17 minutes and is, you know, going on fundraisers for him. So that relationship, I think, has become closer.
Nancy, well, it also seems that, you know, he and Hillary have genuinely gotten closer. How do you view that?
Well, you know, I think there's a pretty widespread feeling that Hillary Clinton has served very effectively and loyally as Secretary of State, and that, you know, that too helps put the any residual bitterness of the 2008 campaign into the past.
Yeah. Let's go back one before that. You talk about the secret pointers that Reagan gave to Clinton before he was, including teaching him how to salute properly.
This is just amazing to us. Again, these handoffs where, you know, of the outgoing or a senior president trying to help the new guy. So Clinton, after the 92 election, goes out to L.A. to pay a visit, just a courtesy call on Ronald Reagan. And the two guys end up in Reagan's office, and they're talking about, you know, the budget, the line item veto and all this stuff. But then Reagan says, you know, I've been watching you during the campaign, and I've noticed you really don't know how to perform a proper salute, and that's a problem. You know, you're kind of lippy. And so, you know, Reagan, of course, you know, the actor understands the importance of literally performing the role of president.
Right.
And so he ends up showing him how to do it, and they stand there in Reagan's office practicing their salutes together.
That's kind of cute. I got to say, that's the cutest story in there. So let's go back to, I mean, and here we go with Reagan. I didn't know about you talk about the extraordinary correspondence, the letters that Reagan and Nixon wrote back and forth to each other. Talk about that for a minute.
This is one of the things also that astonished us, and some of these letters had never been out before, but that relationship goes back, you know, decades, and they're corresponding with, you know, Nixon praising some of Reagan's speeches when Reagan was sort of on the GE circuit. And in 1966, as Reagan is becoming sort of a rising star in the Republican Party and winning his race for governor, now that correspondence gets to get a little tricky because Nixon, who's fully intending to run in 68, now realizes he could have a problem with this guy.
Now they're tricky dick letters. Sure.
And so, you know, there's a lot of sort of passive-aggressive, you know, mind games that go on between the two of them. And Reagan assures him, oh, he has no intention of seeking the Republican nomination in 68. Well, 10 days after he wins the 66 election, he's running for president.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, Reagan spoke at my dad and Goldwater's convention. You know, my dad ran with Barry Goldwater in 64. I don't know if you knew that. But I mean, so this stuff, you know, I was particularly interested in with Johnson, too, about Nixon threatened to tell the whole world that Johnson had bugged him, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Beautiful karmic stories, right?
Yeah.
Is that Nixon was, you know, undercutting Johnson's peace initiative in Vietnam secretly at the end of the 68 campaign. And Johnson found out about this because he was wiretapping people around Nixon. And so when Nixon's in trouble with Watergate, he calls Johnson. He basically says, you need to call up your Democratic Senate friends and get them to back off this investigation, or I'll reveal the fact that you bugged us in 1968, which Johnson replies, well, if you do that, I'll let everyone know what I learned when I bugged you in 1968. So it's a sort of a game of mutual blackmail.
Yeah. You can just hear Nixon saying, that is horrible bugging. I would never do that.
I would never resort to that sort of thing.
Well, you know, you do. The great thing is we have the tapes now. And one of the things that you hear Nixon and his men talking about all the time is sort of what's the big deal? Everyone does this. And, you know, the Kennedys bugged everyone. Johnson bugged everyone. Johnson was the one during that transition who showed Nixon where the tape recorders were kept.
Yeah. Yes, there you go. Nancy, it's fascinating stuff. It's called The President's Club, Inside the World's Most Exclusive Fraternity. Thanks so much for taking time for us. A great
it's
book.
Very nice to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. There she goes. Nancy Gibbs.
She's got an awesome book.
She's got Oxford degrees.
I
want to
steal that from you when you're done with it.
People have very intimidating resumes.
Here's how I learned how to salute during Hellcats of the Navy.
I was just going to say.
And here's what I did when I liberated the concentration. Oh, that wasn't me.
I want to see some of the Nixon letters. Dear Dick. Well, there you go again. All right, 17 minutes after the hour.
I call you Dick?
Everyone else does.
Yeah.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Nobody help me.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
I don't know. I'd rather have a nap started quickly.
Me too. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Angela writes, Steph, please get in the system for Rebecca. I fear for her sanity. Oh, too late there. That ship has sailed. My partner thinks I'm having an affair with someone named Stephhead because it keeps popping up on my redial on my phone. Ah. And I finally explained who you were and why I called so many times. She told me I need to get some help.
Oh dear.
Get some help. Yeah, we've got a lot more calls now that we're on the TV, too. So Rebecca's like, Violet Newstead, please hold. Violet Newstead, please hold. Violet Newstead, please hold.
Hi, this is Violet. Kids, there's more than one peanut butter and banana sandwich in the world. Trust me.
But assistant? No.
Computer says no.
Screw her. Okay, let's go to Tony in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, a long time, first time. I'm just want to congratulate you guys on the show.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan. I know you, Steph, and I don't know the names of the other guys. I know Buff Guy.
It doesn't matter.
Buff Fat Guy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Buff Guy and what? Oh. No.
It's okay, Chris and Jim. All right, go ahead.
Okay, Chris and Jim, I just wanted to talk about Ted Nugent. You know, I'm a performer, I'm a musician, and Ted Nugent is just loving the exposure.
Yeah.
And he's loving all the promotion he's getting.
Yeah.
He's just on his regular being a blowhard, and, you know, he's getting all the promotion for his ranch where he can go wussy hunting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is, wussy hunting.
I'm hunting wussies.
Jeff in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I was sitting here, you were talking a little bit earlier about Willard Romney and his wife Ann and everything, and I was trying to think about what I could say about this, and all of his money that he made, I guess, was from Bain Capital, and his wife and everything and his house and everything was being bought by him robbing pension funds from these companies that he went bankrupt.
Yep.
And his company right now, I'm trying to figure out, well, I don't know if he still works for it, but he still gets a residual from Bain Company. And
yeah.
Bain Company right now is in the mix in the American Airlines bankruptcy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they
mm-hmm.
are the ones that are trying to eviscerate the pension funds and the health care and everything else. And I think when Romney goes out and says he buys Cadillacs and he buys houses and everything, I think people should really, really take a look at this and say, he took this off the sweat of somebody else's brow,
mm-hmm.
and he's going around doing this, and his firm, just to give you an idea, his firm is getting $600,000 a month. Bain Capital is getting $600,000 a month by American Airlines. They're paying $900 to $1,500 an hour to go after these pension funds.
Yep, it is. It's vulture capitalism. Yep. By the way, Carolina says a redistribution of hard-earned middle-class money to the rich equals Romulanism. Ooh, very good. It's Romulanism.
That's good.
Very nice. Gene in Cleveland on Mittens. Hello, Gene. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I've been trying to figure out who Romney reminds me of, and every time that the Republicans get offended by the truth, they always come back with, "We know we did, but so did you."
Pee Wee. Yeah.
I'm trying to use the phone.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Pee Wee Romney's big election, you know? That's
yeah, exactly. There we go. Let's go to Judy in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Judy. Uh-oh. Okay, Judy.
Pee Wee's at her house.
You need to turn your radio off. Okay, Bunny in North Carolina. Hey, Bunny, welcome.
Thanks, Stephanie. Hey, like you, I'm a liberal, proud of it. But I'm unlike you, I'm not a happy clappy, and here's why.
Okay.
Even if every single poll shows Obama ahead by 99 points, and that holds all the way up until the election,
uh-huh.
we've got voter suppression in 32 states,
right.
and that's probably going to increase. And we got Citizens United.
So yeah. Oh no. Listen, Bunny. I'm not unconcerned. I do know exactly what you're talking about. That we can't get complacent. You can't look at these polls and go, oh, it's in the bag. And
the Republican voting machines are still there. The ones that flip votes mysteriously.
Janet in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Janet.
Good morning, Steph, Chris, and Jim.
Hello.
Hey, I'm calling to give a huge shout-out to Al Gore. He continues to promote intelligence, honesty, and current TV is just another example.
And class.
Well, maybe that aside. Yeah. But and that aside, too.
Yes.
Yay you, Steph.
Oh, yay me. Yay me. Oh, thank you, honey. And yay for Al Gore. Yay.
Yay!
Michelle Bachman says yay,
yay
for Current TV. Yay!
Yay!
Awesome.
Current TV has a lot of chutzpah.
That's right. For hiring me, that's for sure. Lynn in Mobile, Alabama. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you so much for even existing. I'm in an area that's cut off from any intelligent political discourse. We have an extreme right-wing newspaper. Our talk radio has no other side but the right-wing extreme hate commentary.
Right.
And so I have to watch you on TV, but at least you're helping me survive.
Thank you.
I wanted to just make a comment about the guy that called in earlier about big government, because that's all you hear around here is big government, big government, big government. And entitlements, which they're trying to turn into a dirty word, by the way, not realizing that they have paid for those entitlements.
That's right.
That's right. Good point. All right, back with Representative Gerald Connolly next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What a stark, raving lunatic.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, I forgot the current microphone's up.
Yeah.
Okay, just so you know, I was not saying, do we have cocaine
for
everybody in the studio? What I'm referring to is soundbite, because we're radio geeks.
Yeah.
We don't actually do cocaine. I was asking.
Cocaine for everybody!
Yeah.
No, we have Jim Ward that can. Yeah, from Starface.
Yeah.
Which I actually never saw.
I never saw that either.
People watching Kern are like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe the stuff you hear during the breaks. He said cocaine for everybody.
They have cocaine every morning.
Do you have cocaine for everybody?
That's how they stay awake.
That's how they get up that early.
Yeah.
Stalker brings us the news. Secret Service Colombian hooker scandal. Now a hooker and blow scandal.
Oh, great.
What goes with hookers but blow? Come on. New York Post reports that cocaine and several bottles of whiskey apparently fueled the Secret Service hooker orgy in Colombia. Gawker writes, but what isn't fueled by cocaine and bottles of whiskey in Colombia?
That's been my question this entire time.
Same.
You get a lot of things in Colombia.
I love this. The Secret Service agents who allegedly brought the prostitutes into their Cartagena hotel rooms brought the girls into contact with sensitive security information.
So you can't.
Now there's a pickup line, huh?
You can get anything you want at Alicia's Ristorante.
Well, what a dopes. What, do they have the president's schedule written in magic marker? Probably should hide that stuff. God's sakes. Mittens on the scandal. yes, Mitt Romney on the...
I'd clean house. The right thing to do is to remove people who have violated the public trust and have put their playtime and their personal interests ahead of the interests of the nation.
I like firing people.
I like to fire people who provide services to me.
Well, or services to hookers.
Or who service other people.
Yeah.
Yes, the boner on this.
Well, I think we need to get to the bottom of it. Again, from all the press reports I've read, it certainly sounds like behavior that was inappropriate. Let's deal with what the facts are.
Facts are.
Wow, that's really sticking your neck.
And Chris, you being the fiscal conservative of the show, you pointed out that you think the hookers were entirely too expensive. You seem to have some knowledge as to what they should cost.
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I know about the cost of hookers is from movies, but $800 for...
Of course. Is that your story?
$800 for a Colombian hooker sounds
a little high?
A little high.
Well, I haven't seen them. So.
Well, I mean, they could all look like Gloria from Modern Family. I don't know.
Maybe they're all cheaper than that. Who knows?
It's just a cheap hooker in paradise. It's not very neat and it's not very nice. If you try to stiff her, you better think twice. Because it's a cheap hooker in paradise.
But do the Colombian hookers do Fran Drescher impersonations?
Thank you, Mike and Robert. Oh, here's another one from Gawker, Jim. It's from the Don't You Hate When This Happens file. Looking up porn online for the first time in his life, man finds sex scene starring his wife.
Oh, wow. That's
hate that.
Oops.
Gawker writing, you know when you're watching internet porn for the very first time, suddenly your wife's on screen having sex with someone who isn't you?
Don't you hate when that happens?
But an Egyptian man claims that's exactly what happened to him not so long ago. He allegedly found not one, not ten, but 11 porn films starring his wife and her pre-marriage boyfriend.
Oh, okay. So it was before they were married.
Sure.
Not
as
during.
As far as he knows.
That will teach him to look at porn. That probably... That probably taught him a thing or two.
Yeah.
Judy in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
Hi, darling. You are my... bowl of cornflakes with the strawberries in it in the morning. Aww. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you.
Listen, to talk about politics, I've been an actively voting, bleeding heart liberal since 61.
I've seen
the decline of the Republican Party and taken over by the conservatives who are so full of hate, but I'm stunned by their ignorance. Not their figurative, but their literal ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
That a Rick Perry who runs a state... it is Texas, but who runs the state and did not know you had to be 18 to vote. There was changed to 18.
Yes, and had the wrong day.
In front of the voters that were going to vote for him. A plethora of people on that stage that didn't condemn the audience that were going to vote for them for booing an active serviceman because he's homosexual.
Normally, it's my job to be corrected on my grammar, but I think it's plethora.
Yeah. Plethora.
There you go.
The Waldorf plethora is my favorite.
You don't wear dentures like I do, so that's
okay.
Right. Thank you, Judy.
Yeah, so Judy has the excuse. What's your excuse, Stephanie?
What?
Plethoria. Wow.
All right. Have you stayed at the Waldorf Plethoria? Let's go to Mike in Alabama. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Good morning. Love your show.
Thank you.
Ever since it came on. Look, I like that lady back made that thing about Al Gore a while ago. When Al Gore was running for Congress many, 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 many years ago, he came to my house and drank coffee with me several times.
Hmm. Oh, did he really?
Yeah, my father-in-law was a big supporter of him and his father.
Uh-huh.
Still is. Democrat all the way.
Good.
But another thing, I want to tell you about Ted Nugent. If I had have said that, what he said about the machine gun, with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, they'd have put me in jail.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know how to handle a machine gun. I fought two wars in the infantry.
Good for you. Thank you for your service. All right. Okay. By the way,
the Secret Service would have to drop the hookers to actually do their job.
Boy, the Secret Service got a lot of labia plethora, didn't they?
Oh.
What? It's not often I get to make fun of someone that mispronounces something. Normally, that's my job.
When she said that, all of us went, what?
What? She put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
Okay, kids, looky here. This, I'm sure, is a complete, you know, coinky dink. Corporations spending the most on lobbying see their tax rates drop.
Huh.
Isn't that weird? Two-thirds of the largest 200 U.S. corporations lobbied on at least one tax bill between 2007 and 2010. Here's why: the majority of them ended up paying lower taxes in 2010.
I'm sure it's a coinkydink.
Unrelated. The eight major corporations, look, like ExxonMobil. Places are really hurting.
Yeah.
Spent the most on lobbying for a total of $540 million. They all saw their tax rates decrease just magically. All right. Our friend... Yes, our friend Alan West is back.
Why?
He said he'd heard. That up to 80 Democrats are communists.
He has a list of them right here.
Somewhere. He can't show it to us.
Ask the Communist Party of America. This.
No, we don't have anybody in Congress.
No, we wish. On Tuesday he explained that expansion of welfare programs constitutes communism and said it's not a recent problem. President Woodrow Wilson? Guilty.
Communist.
Mm.
Yeah. All right.
He apparently was a communist who hid behind the label progressive.
Uh-huh.
See how he did that? That guy.
Yeah, the Communist Party will be the first to tell you that progressives are nowhere near as communist as they would like them to be.
Yeah, right. Speaking of... please, God, let this not be a congressperson at some point. You remember the Republican who hosted the M16 shooting event to remove Gabrielle Giffords from
office?
That's
right.
He has won the nomination for her seat, the Republican nomination. Jesse Kelly, that guy, Tea Party guy, won the Republican nomination primary to fill the seat left vacant by the resignation of Representative Gabrielle Giffords. He will face Ron Barber, who is Giffords' district manager, who we had on the show just a few weeks ago.
Right.
Kelly, in his unsuccessful 2010 bid for the same seat, if you'll recall, he infamously hosted an M16 automatic weapons shooting campaign event to help supporters get on target to help remove Gabrielle Giffords from office. That was before Sarah Palin put her on her website in crosshairs. So that guy.
There's no connection.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Is it wrong to put a Catholic priest on my future husband list?
A little bit.
Pointless, but
wrong necessarily.
Pointless in so many ways.
In so many ways.
However, take your organ out for me. This is for, Reverend Tim Clark.
He's good.
Standing ovation. Yeah, right? He got a standing ovation for shunning anti-marriage equality petition drive. At least six Catholic parishes in Washington State have ignored the Seattle Archbishop's call to gather signatures for a referendum repealing the state's recently enacted marriage equality law, calling the effort hurtful and seriously divisive in our community. Seattle's Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church gave the Reverend Tim Clark a standing ovation on Sunday when he announced that the parish would not be participating in the anti-equality effort.
That's a big church.
So gays, you can play in their reindeer games in Washington State because of people.
Isn't Lady in the Lake a pagan symbol?
No, that was
King Arthur. That's a lake of fire.
No.
It was a character in
Lady in the Lake.
Yeah, King Arthur.
But that was...
That's how he got his sword.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, opinion polls have shown Catholics reject the church's opposition to marriage equality, according to recent polls. How about that? All right, and now in our not-so-much Catholic file...
Oh, boy.
Catholic bishop claims Obama is following a path similar to Hitler. Hitler-ish.
Right. Sure.
Hitler would have been a big fan of Obama, like he was of Jesse Owens.
Bishop Daniel Jenke, he's in a mass preceding a Catholic men's march.
There's so much wrong with that.
Fill in your own joke. As part of a lengthy historical lecture on past attacks on the Catholic Church, he claimed that President Obama, following in the footsteps of Adolf Hitler, here we go, this is exactly what he said, Hitler and Stalin, at their better moments, would just barely tolerate some churches remaining open, but would not tolerate any competition with the state in education, social services, health care. In clear violation of our First Amendment rights...
Hitler wanted to be a priest.
Yeah. Doesn't he understand that Hitler and Stalin were on the opposite ends of the political spectrum?
Yeah. No, he does not.
Okay.
Barack Obama, with his radical pro-abortion, extreme secularist agenda, now seems intent on following a similar path to Hitler and Stalin.
And Idi Amin at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
Sure. Okay.
Makes absolutely no sense.
45 minutes after the hour, back with a celebrity stack. And, oh, the latest on the Trayvon Martin case as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
All right. Rebecca's officially having a nervous breakdown.
Yes,
she was just here giving Jim a lap dance.
Yeah. Man, that was hot.
She's, then we said, look, there's a 202 area code. It's Congressman, go! All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
I think Alan West has turned me into a communist. I was just watching East German propaganda videos.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
Sure. See what you did there? Representative Jerry Conley of the great state of Virginia, correct? Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. I know you only have a couple of minutes. You've been busy voting and all that stuff. But wanted to check in with you on these, you know, the GSA scandal, the Secret Service scandal. I mean, it's interesting. First of all, are they having overkill on how many hearings we've already had on the GSA thing? It seems to me that, you know, Republicans and Democrats are equally outraged about this, correct?
Yes. You know, there's nothing Washington likes better than a good scandal.
Right. Right. So there are two hearings and there's two more hearings. Tell us what happened in this scandal for people who don't know yet.
Well, with respect to the GSA, one region, there are really 10 regions plus the District of Columbia, one leader in one region has been hosting for a number of years, including in the previous administration as well as this one, sort of this motivational extravaganza. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. This motivational extravaganza that, you know, started out at 200,000, then went to 4 and then 6 and finally over 800,000. And they had magicians and mind readers, and they had all kinds of trinkets and awards and Tony Awards. And they bent the rules in terms of when they could serve food and alcohol and so forth and so on. And it really got completely out of hand. Has rolled. I mean, to her credit, the head of GSA, Martha Johnson, took the fall, though she's the one who actually blew the whistle and gave the information to the inspector general. It took the inspector general, who has 300 staff members, 9 months to actually do the report. He, of course, has come before a number of congressional committees pointing the finger at the management, but it was actually management that found this out and reported it to him to investigate.
Right.
So I really do think Administrator Johnson, whatever the faults and whatever defects in her judgment, she actually did the honorable thing, very rare in Washington. She resigned. But she, not before, she instituted reforms and fired 2 deputies because she felt they were in the line of command and they had to take the responsibility too. You know, obviously, everybody's interested. Is this a culture of abuse or is this an isolated incident due to one wild man who felt he really was accountable to nobody? I really think when you kind of get over the histrionics of it, and it's absolutely legitimate to be concerned about excess with taxpayers' money, but I don't know that this is emblematic of the agency. I do think there's a management problem in GSA in terms of decentralization. The regional structures have way too much autonomy and way too little accountability to headquarters, and that is absolutely one of the things that went wrong here at GSA.
Congressman Connolly, I know Mitt Romney tried to, you know, pin this this on the Obama administration, but for some reason gave him a pass on the Secret Service scandal. You know, I doubt there's any president in history that hasn't had, you know, some scandal in some department. What's your take on the Secret Service? It seems like they're addressing that, you know, pretty quickly.
Well, first of all, you know, Mitt Romney is, you know, today he's blaming and tomorrow he's exonerating. God only knows where he'll come out. But the fact of the matter is, even Darrell Issa, the chairman of our committee, a very partisan Republican, admitted this was not really something that could be pinned on any one administration because, frankly, it's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah.
And it went on during the Bush years, and it went on before him, too. So it has to be rooted out. It has to be cleaned up. People have to be held accountable, and that process is unfolding as we speak. And there may yet be some indictments, or certainly criminal investigations, if not indictments, of certain individuals who clearly bent the rules and may very well have broken the law. We'll have to see. With respect to the Secret Service,
I think what's most alarming about that is that 11 individuals in the Secret Service decided that they were somehow immune from the normal rules of engagement when you're overseas in the Secret Service mission, especially when you're anticipating the arrival of the President of the United States. And, you know, obviously that's got the attention of everyone in Washington, but we're all hoping it's an isolated incident, but a bad one, and that it does not in any way, shape, or form necessarily characterize the culture of the Secret Service. I mean, the Secret Service agents, you know, are some of the few people in the federal government whose job it is to interpose their bodies with those they are designed to protect and take a bullet if they have to. And that's a pretty sacred obligation, a sacred mission. And so I think we want to be careful about broad generalizations. But clearly what happened is absolutely unacceptable. And I think it has to be vigorously pursued. And the folks who were involved have to suffer you know, severe penalty and discipline.
Right.
It is unacceptable, period, for you know, American officials to travel abroad, especially when their mission is to protect the President of the United States, and to engage in any behavior that could bring any dishonor upon their reputation, our country's reputation, or could compromise the security of the President. And we don't know the answers to that yet.
Yep.
But it's a very serious incident, and it needs to be thoroughly investigated and corrective action taken immediately.
Yep. Representative, I know they're telling me you have to go vote. Thank you so much for your time to update us on all this. Representative Jerry Connolly of the great state of Virginia. Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Okay. Well, it's good because we lost the cell connection right at the same time.
Perfect timing.
All right. Perfect. By the way, I was giving you an update on the judge quit the Trayvon Martin case.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing? She's hot.
Yes. I noticed that right away.
Yes, that would have been too.
Oh, for the love.
That would have been
Pete.
Too distracting for you, Jim. yeah, she removed this trial. I don't know. She removed herself after the attorney for George Zimmerman argued she had a possible conflict of interest related to her husband. Her husband works with an attorney there who was first approached by Zimmerman's family to represent him. They declined and referred them to Mark O'Mara, who's now represented him.
That seems like
it.
And now this
like
guy's been hired by CNN to comment. And the reason George Zimmerman hired the guy he has now is because he saw him on TV. Because he thinks
Yeah, it sounds like Zimmerman went to every lawyer in the state of Florida. And
so
everybody's
going to have
to. Yeah.
I know. Oh, wow. Sean Hannity's on TV. Sean, can you help me? Oops. Yeah.
Why don't you talk to your friend Sean Hannity about his involvement with this case?
I think I will. I'll give him he's probably blocked me by now.
Yeah, see if he can come on the show and talk about it.
Tell her I'm not talking to her.
All right. Mittens might go on Saturday Night Live. Don't you hate that? Because the problem is they really have good, really good writers.
Yeah.
And so they'll make him look funny and have a personality of some kind.
No, they won't.
He said, of course it would depend on the nature of the skit. I want it to be funny. Just like all the rest of his comedy stylings. It has to be up to a certain level.
Like when he gooses women next to him?
Yes.
Or what does he do?
Here's a humorous story.
Yeah. Hmm.
Boy, his ability to name food really bit him in the ass at that picnic table.
These are pancakes.
These are apparently some sort of cookies from 7-Eleven or somewhere.
7-Eleven
Bakery. 7-Eleven
Bakery.
And they were from like a fancy bakery
there.
7-Eleven
Crêperie.
And they were very insulted.
Yeah.
You can't let him wing it. You just can't.
No.
All right. We love you, Dick Clark.
Yeah.
I met him once. Nicest guy in
Me
the world.
Too.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us today. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang. Tomorrow, all 3 hours live right there in studio.
Wow. Sex with Friday Liberal John Fugelsang.
With his handsome, romantic face.
I'll
will
be on
right
the other side of the room
there
when that happens.
All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and the beleaguered Rebecca Taylor.
Aww.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.